It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Tens of thousands of Democratic presidential primary election voters in Michigan and Minnesota choose uncommitted. This grassroots campaign aims to send a message to the Biden administration, urging a permanent ceasefire in Gaza and an end to military aid for Israel. We learn about the Listen to Wisconsin campaign and explore your questions and comments. Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Janann Najib is a Palestinian American in Mequon and executive director of the Milwaukee Muslim Women's Coalition. She's an organizer with the Listen to Wisconsin campaign. Janann, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So after primary elections this week, President Biden has enough delegates to secure the Democratic nomination. How does this presumptive nomination affect the goal of the Listen to Wisconsin campaign?
Well, we know that President Biden in 2020 won Wisconsin really by about 20,000 votes. And our goal really is to show during the primary that our goal really is to get those 20,000 votes in uninstructed to show President Biden that we are the ones that really put him over the edge and helped him to win Wisconsin. And we're angry and we are upset that he has not been listening to his constituents when the vast majority of Democrats around the country, including in Wisconsin, are calling for a ceasefire, when almost 100% of progressive voters who worked really hard to get him elected are calling for a ceasefire and an end to the genocide in Gaza. And yet he has really been completely ignoring us. And in fact, he has been facilitating this genocide with, constant aid, even without getting approval from Congress, to Israel to continue their slaughter of innocent Palestinians. I mean, this is the first war in history where the targets are specifically women and children. And you would think that there would be incredible outrage. The vast majority of the world overwhelmingly is outraged. But the Biden administration is just continuing with the status quo. So we're sending a message.
You've been using the word genocide. And in January, Secretary of State Antony Blinken called the allegations accusing Israel of genocide meritless. And then the same month, a United Nations court ruled the allegations were plausible. So why do you use the word genocide when, you know, the nation's top diplomat and a UN court haven't taken it that far?
Well, you know, we look at the definition of genocide, and when you are trying to ethnic cleanse a portion of a particular class of people by killing them, by displacing them, by really preventing them from having children, which is what happens when you're specifically targeting women. So it is a plausible genocide only because of the fact that usually it takes years to get everything in place. But if anyone has really listened to the case that South Africa, which so notably and elaborately presented the case for genocide, it's clearly a case for genocide. If this isn't genocide, I'm really not sure what is. If the United Nations is saying it's a plausible case, this is something that we believe will definitely be considered genocide.
So Biden won all delegates, but the two uncommitted delegates in Michigan's Democratic primary, one state over. What are you hoping to happen here in Wisconsin's primary election next month?
Well, as I had mentioned, we're hoping to get at least 20,000 votes for uninstructed delegation, and that's our kind of uncommitted as Michigan had. Mm-hmm. And as we can see in so many of the different states, you know, Minnesota, elsewhere where they had significant, even Hawaii, which had significant representation in their uncommitted vote, and we're trying to send a message. And what is very, very clear is that if Joe Biden and his administration don't change course, they are going to be responsible for losing the election, because people cannot ethically and morally vote for someone that has really supported the mass killing and massacre of women and children and civilians in Gaza, and in fact in the West Bank as well.
We're talking about uncommitted primary voters with Janann Najib, organizer of the Listen to Wisconsin campaign. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Janann, former President Donald Trump also now has enough delegates to officially secure the Republican nomination. With the presidential election 8 months away, will Listen to Wisconsin encourage people to vote a certain way in the final presidential election?
You know, we're focusing right now on the primary. Definitely Donald Trump is not an option for us. But at the same time, the message is to the Democrats, and overwhelmingly the individuals that are voting uninstructed have been Democrats, have worked for getting Democrats elected, have donated to Democrats, have knocked doors for Democrats. And so while we do not of course, plan to endorse Donald Trump, we also want to make it clear that the Democrats don't simply get our vote just because. People have to earn votes, and they have to show that they are concerned about the issues that are relevant to their constituents, particularly the constituents that have been very, very strong supporters. And so we'll get, you know, as we move to November, we will reassess. Some people will probably vote third party if things don't change. But right now we're focusing on the primary.
During the State of the Union address, President Biden announced he would send humanitarian aid to Palestinians, and the American military is also set to build this pier to help distribute the supplies to Gaza. What do you make of this response?
I think it's a PR stunt. I think it's insulting. You know, after nearly 5 months and children and people are dying of starvation and having the physical impact of starvation and dehydration, where their bodies are not going to, you know, be able to come back from this. And then now we're dumping some pre-made meals, you know, which is too little, too late. In the process, there were even people that were killed in the airdrops. And then what is most really ridiculous is the port that is being built. So you can't get, you claim that, you know, you can't get trucks full of baby formula and rice and really urgent medical equipment into Gaza, yet you were able to get truckloads of heavy equipment into Gaza in order to build this port. Not truckloads of heavy equipment to get children from under the rubble, but truckloads to build a port so that you can bring food in from the water, rather than just driving in the hundreds of trucks that have been waiting to get in. We are the ones that call the shots. We are the ones that can demand Israel allow humanitarian aid in. This is wasting time. It takes time to build a port. By then, thousands more are going to be dead. And the impact even after the food comes in, because of the dire situation and the lack of clean water, the lack of medical supplies, there's going to probably be more civilians dying of disease and lack of clean water than there even is with the bombing. And right now we're looking at 31,000 that have been bombed to death, and that's not counting those that thousands that are still under the rubble, and then also the more than 100,000 civilians that have been injured. And just in context, we need to think about that. That's like saying that every man, woman, child in Wisconsin, in Minnesota, and in Illinois, all of them have been obliterated off of the face of this earth. That's the context within Gaza right now. And for us as a country that claims that we stand for humanitarian values, that we stand for really the disenfranchised, this is unprecedented.
Do you think, does the Muslim community feel disenfranchised by the Biden administration?
Oh, without a doubt. And it's not just the Muslim community. It's we have marching with us every day, Palestinian Christians, Arab Christians, whose churches have been obliterated and bombed. Some of the most historic churches in the world in Gaza have been just completely disseminated. And then it's not only just Arabs and Palestinians and Muslims. We have a tremendous number of people that have been committed, lifelong peace and justice activists, many clergy that are marching with us. We have an enormous number of Jewish individuals, Jewish Voice for Peace, Not in Our Name. And then what's incredibly uplifting and exciting is the sheer number of young people that have taken this on, because, you know, they're not listening to the mainstream media that has a very one-sided presentation. They're watching what's happening in real time on social media. They're there with these people that are documenting their own genocide, and they're there with those individuals who are documenting the atrocities that they're doing. And so it's the first time in history that you have such intensive coverage, and you can't ignore that. And so many people are not ignoring that. So this is no longer isolated to, you know, the Palestinians or Muslims or Arab Americans that have been privy to has been going on for really 75 years. Now the world knows, and you can't go back to not knowing.
Janann Najib with us, an organizer with the Listen to Wisconsin campaign, founder of Milwaukee Muslim Women's Coalition. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. You can share your insights at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Listen to Wisconsin campaign is an example of grassroots electoral organizing. Thousands of Michigan and Minnesota Democrats voted uncommitted in their primary elections to voice protest against President Joe Biden's handling of Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza. Call in with the question. You can share your perspective at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Janann Najib is an organizer with the Listen to Wisconsin campaign. Janann, you've been describing a multi-faith effort, a multiracial effort in this coalition of people who are against war. How do you reflect on the diversity of voices that are sending this message?
Yeah, these are people that refuse to be silent and refuse to have this kind of atrocity and injustice taking place in their names. These are people that believe in democracy. These are people that believe in peace. They believe in human rights. They believe in dignity for all. And they believe that people of color in the global South have the same rights that Europeans. We see the difference in attitude between in our administration when it came to Ukraine and the occupation of Ukraine, as opposed to the 75 your occupation of Palestine. And the only difference is that one is European and one has brown skin. And so these are people that really are standing for their values and are willing to vote their values regardless what the consequences are. We're calling for an immediate and permanent ceasefire in Gaza. We're calling an end to the siege of Gaza and to allow uninhibited aid to come into Gaza. We're calling to reinstate the humanitarian aid and UNRWA funding that the United States, knowing it's the lifeline of Palestinians, 80% of Palestinians in Gaza who are in this concentration camp, just simply listening to Israeli propaganda, decided to cut it off. But then the United Nations said that they have found really no evidence of any misconduct. Yet we still have not resumed. Some other countries have resumed the funding. This has to be reinstated. And we need finally an end to the military aid that we send to Israel that has been used for 75 years just to oppress another race of people. This is something that we really, these are our demands.
Let's hear the voice of Vice President Kamala Harris last week calling for an immediate six-week ceasefire in Gaza.
This will get the hostages out and get a significant amount of aid in. This would allow us to build something more enduring, to ensure Israel is secure, and to respect the right of the Palestinian people to dignity, freedom, and self-determination.
And that is from NPR. Janann, you know, a temporary ceasefire in Gaza took place in November last year. If a six-week ceasefire happens, what would you hope is accomplished in that time?
Well, first of all, this is, again, I think it's a PR stunt after the votes that came out in Michigan, came out in Minnesota, showing really the strength of the movement and the real possibility of President Biden being a one-term president. A six-week pause really doesn't accomplish anything, because we saw even with a handful of trucks that came in, and we have been told by the United Nations that on average 400 trucks of aid need to come in every single day, and yet all we're getting was a trickle of a couple of trucks. And even then, the Israelis were killing, mass killing families that were trying to come in for a little bit of bread for their children. That is not an answer. We need to demand a permanent ceasefire. We need to end all military aid to Israel. We need to finally give stand for Palestinian liberation and self-determination. We need a Palestine that is able to make decisions for itself and is not blockaded by air and water and land like currently Gaza and the West Bank is. This is a problem.
The demands that we're hearing from the Uncommitted Campaign, they're clear and they're resonating. And I'm just wondering, you know, of course, you're here on WPR, but how is the Listen to Wisconsin campaign organizing in Wisconsin? What is that grassroots work like?
It's really, we're amazed with the interest and the enthusiasm across the state immediately. There are so many different groups, not just Muslim, not just Arab. There are so many Christian, Jewish, Latino voters, Black, White, Jewish voters that are really excited about this, because, you know, never again means never again for everyone, not just never again for Europeans. And so they're saying, well, this is a way to make our voices heard. And we're really optimistic.
How did you know the moment that you would get decided, that you would decide to get involved in this campaign, in this effort?
When we saw what took place in Michigan, I think a lot of people, frankly, including myself, had never really thought about uninstructed in Wisconsin. But it was really a vote of conscience because I think many, many people were thinking, well, what are we going to do? We are people that have been voting all our lives. We have always been encouraging people to get out and vote. And what are we to do? To sit this out? Because we're not going to vote for Trump, and we're definitely not going to vote for Biden. So, if there's no other candidate, who do we vote for? And this gave us an option because we don't want people to sit out. We don't want them to give up their right to vote. This is their voice and should not be taken away from them. And so this gives them an option to really have their voices heard.
In our just final moments together, for Wisconsin, you use the word uninstructed. Can you explain the difference between that word and uncommitted?
Yeah, some states have uncommitted, some have uninstructed, some use other words, but it's basically the same thing. It's basically meaning that, you are not voting for the candidate that has been presented by the party. And so it is clearly a protest vote.
Janann, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Janann Najib is with the Listen to Wisconsin campaign. She is founder and executive director of Milwaukee Muslim Women's Coalition and head of the Islamic Resource Center. And for disclosure, Janann Najib is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association Board of Directors. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.